The Church Media Podcast, episode 106, shooting B-roll for your church with Jonathan Drake. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world.
Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at the Church Media Podcast.com. And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Carl. Thanks for hanging out this week. On today's show, I welcome back my friend Jonathan Drake. Today, we'll be talking about shooting B-roll at your church. And if you're thinking, what is B-roll? What does that mean? Well, we'll answer that too. We like to not assume that you know things, so that we can help everyone from rookies to veterans. As I mentioned last week, Jonathan is a member of our production team. He and several other videographers shoot all of our video announcements for churches across the country. He's a fantastic shooter, editor, designer, and producer. My interview with Mr. Drake is coming right up.
And now, your Church Media Resource of the Week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey there, this is James Wassum from Great Church Sound with your Church Media Resource of the Week. This week, I'd like to talk about the virtual sound check. If you haven't heard of this before, that's okay. A virtual sound check is a tool that allows you to record each audio channel coming into your mixing console and then play that channel back so you can practice mixing without a live band or worship team being present. It's a great way to train new sound team members and practice your mixing skills. Some digital mixing consoles will have a few built-in recording options or interfaces that allow you to capture a digital multi-track recording with a computer. For analog consoles or other boards, you may need to use a multi-channel digital interface to capture the analog audio and send it to a computer. Or you could use something like the Nemosyn N-Drive Virtual Soundcheck Recorder. It's a small recording device that connects to your console with a USB cable and records up to 32 channels of audio. Pro SoundWeb and Church Tech Arts have great articles about how to use a virtual sound check. And you can check out Nemosyn.com for more info on that device. That's spelled N-E-M-O-S-Y-N.com. Nemosyn and N-Drive. Hopefully you can use the virtual sound check for better practicing and better results with your church sound team. Check it out.
To subscribe to the show, access archive episodes, and get tons of free resources for your production team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, I welcome my friend Jonathan Drake. Jonathan is a director, producer, and graphic designer. He owns and operates J. Drake Productions out of Atlanta. He's worked with a long list of nonprofits, restaurants, churches, and small businesses. He's a shooter, editor, photographer, web designer, and a member of our team. Jonathan, welcome, dude.
Hey, thanks so much, man. Glad to be here.
Now, well, let's talk this week about B-roll at your church. We're just going to dive right in, okay? So let's first define what B-roll is and how this term came about.
Okay, well, you know, in the film industry or TV or anything else, you know, B-roll is kind of considered like a secondary sort of footage. So you've got your main footage that you're taking off what some people would say as an A camera or something like that. B-roll is kind of considered, you'd see this a lot in like, you know, film, very cinematic kind of stuff. Probably a lot of churches nowadays too, when they're shooting like testimonials or something like that. You know, they'll shoot extra stuff. You know, if there's somebody, you know, they're shooting outside, they might shoot extra footage of, like, you know, nature, trees or flowers or something like that. Just to use, a lot of times it's used to kind of cover up when you're cutting between shots and things like that. So it's really, in its simplest terms, it's kind of considered like secondary footage is what I would say.
Right. That can be sometimes be a second angle shot or like you were saying, just maybe shots of hands during an interview or something like that. Have you seen, it's becoming more and more popular to not cover your edits anymore.
Yes.
Just chop. Do you like that style? Or so do you think B-roll's kind of on its way out a little bit? Or give me your sense of that.
I guess it really depends on kind of the look that you're going for. We shoot a lot of testimonial stuff at the church that I attend. And, cameras are getting better and better. So now we're shooting, all of our cameras shoot in 4K. And so with 4K, it's a high enough resolution where you can actually punch in and still get a really great 1080 project on your final edit. And so a lot of times what I'll do, if I'm shorthanded and don't have a second or third shooter, then I'll just have my main camera set up and I'll actually just kind of punch in back and forth to eliminate having to have, two or three different cameras. But I personally still like to have multiple angles, and I like to fill in, if it's just someone we're shooting, inside the church. I'm kind of getting away a little bit from doing, shots of hands or, stuff that's around the background and things like that. We're actually using a lot more text on screens now. So what we'll do is we'll actually go to, if they have a really great quote while we're shooting a testimony, we'll actually go to a screen that's got the text of what they're actually saying while they're saying it, just to give a little bit, artsy feel to it. But I do think that it is going away a little bit. So, but it really just depends on the style that you're looking for.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not a huge, maybe I'm just old school where I want to cover my edits with something a little more interesting. But I'm not a huge fan of the fad of just straight up cutting. I don't know. Do you have a personal preference?
Yeah, I think that if you're using the same camera, to me it looks kind of weird if you're just chopping it and staying on the same exact. If it's a wide shot, you're staying on the wide
right. And
cutting. I think it looks almost like, it's very obvious that you're splicing it. Personally, I would rather go to a different angle or punch in or something like that just to cover up that cut a little bit so that it looks a little more seamless.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I'd love to get your thoughts on how we can shoot better B-roll at our church. So let's start with why. Okay, so why should I shoot B-roll? We talked about this a little bit, but why should I shoot B-roll at my church and for other video projects that I do? What is the need? And
well,
maybe repeating
myself.
Especially
in the church world, B-roll is, you're going to be doing a lot of different projects that primarily your shots are going to be primarily B-roll. You might be doing a recap video from, let's say, a missions trip or something like that. And when I talk about B-roll, we talked about it at the very beginning, I kind of consider if I were to go on a mission trip and I'm shooting footage for a recap video for that missions trip, I would consider all of that B-roll. Some people may not. For me, I would consider, if I'm not shooting a testimonial, everything footage-wise to me is considered B-roll. So some people may have a different opinion about that. But so I'm shooting B-roll. So B-roll is fantastic. And I tell people, I work with a lot of churches, and I tell people all the time, if you are taking a team on a missions trip, a youth camp, any type of event that's going on in your church, you don't have to have a $10,000 camera to shoot some B-roll. Our cell phones nowadays have great enough cameras on them that you can actually make sure you turn your camera horizontal, not vertical, and you can shoot some really great footage of the event. And that way, if you dump that off to an editor or whoever else, they've got something that they can work with later on. But I think B-roll is so important because it helps tell the story of the great things that are happening in your church, the things that you're doing in your community, the people's lives that you're impacting. So I think it's super important to have a team, even if they're not professional videographers, have a team of people that every time something important is going on in your church, whether it's a cell phone or a camera that, you guys have, make sure that you're shooting some stuff so that you can document the great things that are going on.
Yeah, and as a video editor, motion designer myself, that stuff, and this is one area that we've connected and partnered on, is if you shoot great stuff, you send it to me, man, that is gold. I mean, that is just priceless in the hands of an editor to have just quality B-roll, quality footage, because honestly, you can use it for multiple projects, especially, you know, if let's say if you're shooting a serve day or a community outreach, you can use that in multiple settings, a highlight video. You know, there's just so many uses for just great footage. You got any thoughts there?
Well, the cool thing is, you know, the whole world is changing when it comes to visually driven media. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people that may be listening to this, they can even see it on websites nowadays. You've got these video banners that are on a lot of, especially church websites. I'm seeing it, you know, a lot in the church world right now. You've got these great video banners that as soon as you click onto their homepage are, you know, it's 15 or 20, 30 seconds of just things that are who that church is about. And I think that people are visually being driven nowadays with especially web and social media and everything else, that you've got great video content that people are finally waking up and realizing, man, this is a great first impression. I tell people all that. I do a little bit of web design in my business, and I tell churches all the time, like, this is your first impression for people that have never been to your church, because your website is technically really not for your members. Every once in a while, you can put something up there that, you know, people need to know about, and it's a good place to get information. But your website really is for people that have never been to your church. So what better way to give this amazing first impression than having video content and great photography and stuff like that of your people, not stock stuff that you can go and get online, like your actual church, your people, the things that you're doing. So, and I think that B-roll it's a needed thing, especially in the church world nowadays.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to something that we discussed a little bit last week, and that is gear. So what kind of camera or other gear do I need to shoot good B-roll at my church? Obviously, budget is a concern. You know, talk to me about gear.
Well, gear is probably the one thing that I love to talk about more than anything. I am a gear guy. I am constantly watching and following people on social media that, you know, are getting the newest and the best of everything. So there's a lot of different categories. Budget is definitely your biggest concern. I mean, you can spend $100,000 on a camera if you want to, but obviously most churches are probably going to be working with something far less than that. So the great thing, like I mentioned a minute ago, you may have no budget. And if you have no budget, then your cell phone can be a very viable option for shooting B-roll. I have done some shoots before where I did not have a second camera available, and I used my cell phone and, you know, threw some filters on it, and it was good enough that you probably would have never known the difference. I personally, I'll tell you a little bit about what I use and, you know, tell you kind of price-wise. That there's some great cameras that are coming out. I shoot currently with a Sony a7 R2. It's a stills and video camera. The body is around $3,000, and then, you know, lenses and stuff are on top of that. But for less than $5,000, I mean, nowadays you can get a camera that you absolutely could shoot a movie with. You can spend much more than that. You can spend much less than that. You know, a digital SLR camera is a great place to start if you're wanting to shoot really good B-roll, because, you know, you can get a really cheap digital SLR that's, you know, around $500 to $700, put a really nice lens on it, and, you know, you've got a quality camera that, you know, for most people, especially if it's mostly web and social media driven, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. So I think there's a lot of, you know, gear guys out there that are always pushing these super expensive cinematic cameras and everything. And trust me, I am right there with them. If I had the money, I'd probably buy it tomorrow. But when it comes down to it, if it's web driven, if you're not projecting this on a huge screen in a movie theater or something like that, you know, you're going to be able to get away with getting a pretty inexpensive camera. So I think under $1,000, you can get a camera and a lens that would probably suit the needs of most churches across America.
How important, you mentioned glass a little bit, how important is glass and your lens, and how much research and money should I pour into that element of my gear?
Well, cameras are always changing. There's going to be, you know, you can spend 10 grand tomorrow and there will be a better camera out 6 months from now. So they're always going to be changing. I remember I bought my first camcorder when I was really getting into video production for $3,000. And now I wouldn't use that camera to shoot, you know, video of my son's birthday party. It's just, it's how much things have changed, especially in the last 10 years. Things have gotten so much better. And the prices have come down so much. So glass to me is very, very important. I've invested in two or three really nice lenses that I still use. I've had for five or more years, still use the same lenses. And they are, you know, as good today as they were 5 years ago. So I think it's really important. The, you know, the more that you get into this, the better the quality you want it to be. I think glass is super important. Personally, I started on Canon lenses. And then I switched to Sony. I still use an adapter, so now I'm still using Canon lenses on Sony cameras. And at some point, if Canon, you know, actually comes out with another camera that's, you know, as good and price point wise as good as, you know, some of the other guys out there, I might even switch back to Canon. So I'm going to keep those lenses. With all the adapters out there nowadays for super, you know, cheap, you can, you know, you can adapt any lens to any camera. And so, but I think glass is very important. That would be, I would invest in that before I invested in a camera, because they're going to really last, you know, the test of time. I've got some buddies that shoot on some vintage, Nikon lenses that are 50 years old. So, I mean, with tweaking, as long as you take care of them and get them cleaned every once in a while and all that, then they're going to last pretty much forever.
So I know we're talking about tips for shooting your own B-roll at your church, but weigh this for me. How much money should I pour into shooting my own B-roll versus hiring or outsourcing someone? Like we send you and other people from our team out to get footage from churches, especially when we're talking about church video announcements, that sort of thing, the stuff that we're doing there. So weigh that for me. How much should I pour into it versus outsourcing or hiring someone with the, you know, right gear or time to do it?
Well, it all depends on the project. Like me personally, I've got a couple buddies that have their own separate businesses as well. And there's sometimes that I, you know, depending on the project, depending on the budget of the project, I'll get them to go out and just shoot some B-roll for me. If it's ever something, and I'm getting to the point in my, you know, I've had my business now for almost 10 years, and I've reached a point now where for me it's a lot more fun to work with people instead of doing it by myself. For the longest time, I did everything by myself, and so I tried to partner with some really great professional guys that I can trust. I know they're going to give me a great product every time they go out, and so it just depends on the budget. You know, sometimes you want to just do it all yourself, but I think that B-roll is very important. Just as long as the quality is there, whether you're doing it yourself or outsourcing it, it's just got to be consistent. So that's what it comes down to for me. You know, whether I'm shooting it for my church or, you know, another project, I just want it to be consistent. I want to make sure that. So the person to me is more important, I think, than how much I would be, you know, paying to outsource or anything like that. As long as I know, and some of my friends, you know, sometimes they're just available and they'll do it, you know, for almost nothing, just to help me out. But to me, the level of consistency is what I'm looking for.
So what kind of shots should I get? Talk to me about your shot list.
Okay, well, this could be, there's a million different ways to look at this, because for me, it all depends on the look that you're going for. So let's just say we're doing a promo for church, and this is going to go on their website. It's going to go up on social media. This is like a first impression piece that we're shooting. So the things that I would be looking for in that kind of a project would be, I want to show people's faces. I want to show people online that would be watching who this church is. I want to show the parking lot. I want to show, you know, the worship experience. I want to show the kids areas. I want them to see a little bit of every piece of the church, because it's important for people to know, like I was talking about earlier on their website, this is a first impression for people when they're first clicking on your website or getting on your social media or something like that. So for me, in those kinds of projects, I want to be able to show the emotion behind what they're doing. And typically in any project, that's what I'm going to do. If it's a business, I want to capture who they are as a company. I've worked for a couple of industrial companies over the years, and I want to be able to capture in those projects, you know, their machinery and how they do what they do. And, you know, but I still want to capture people. I love putting a personal touch in there. It's not just, you know, especially if it is like an industrial business or company corporation. Like, I don't want to capture just, you know, their machinery and what they do. I want to capture who it is that is actually doing the work, because it really is important, like, who it is behind the product. And so whether it's a church or, you know, I've done a lot of restaurants and things like that, and same thing. I want to capture, like, the people that are in the kitchen, the waiters and waitresses, like, because you're always going to see a face when you go in anywhere. So to me, that's really important, is to have that, you know, personal element to it. That makes sense.
Yeah. So what if I'm just starting out shooting my own B-roll, just learning from scratch? Tell me, like, you sit down before you are going to shoot the next day or the morning of going to shoot. How do you start writing your shot list? Like, walk me through your thought process of getting prepared to go shoot.
Okay. Well, I wish that I could say that I am the most organized person in the world and have a 100% ready-to-go shot list, you know, before I go to the event. Typically, I don't have time in my mm-hmm. schedule to do a scout shoot before I actually do the project. Now, I do have some friends that are unbelievable at making. They'll go out and they'll do, and they've got, you know, and it's bigger budget stuff, so they've got time to go out, you know, a couple weeks before and scout the whole location and figure out what they're going to do and all that. But I will say this, I always have a plan based on what the company is or the church is. And I've done so many things with churches over the years now that I've probably worked with 25 to 30 different churches over the last 10 years. And so I've got a pretty good idea of what I'm looking for if I'm going in to shoot, whether it's video or photography. Like, I've got a good idea of what I'm going to do. And so, but I'm always thinking about a few things that I'm going to try and get ahead of time. I always go, when I first get there, I always tell whoever's kind of my point person, contact, I'll say, hey, give me a tour of the place first, because I want to make sure that I've got a good idea. I've got everything sort of laid out. I know how to get back to the area that I need to get and all that. But that's really kind of what I do, is I just sit down. I know that I don't want the same exact shot every single time. So I think it's important, when you're thinking about your shot list, make sure you've got some wide shots, especially if we're talking in church world. Make sure you're capturing wide shots of rooms, like worship experiences in the main auditoriums, or, you know, you want to be able to capture a wide shot of the whole place, and then obviously close-ups and medium shots of people worshiping, or the band or the worship team that's on the stage. You just want to just have a variation, so that way when you're cutting a promo or something together, you know, it's not just close up. You know, you can really have some variation between your shots and have wide shots. One of the best pieces of gear that I've purchased in the last 10 years is a gimbal, and they're getting much, much cheaper. I think they were, you know, $10,000 or more when they first came out. You can get them super cheap now. But that, to me, is one of the best pieces of gear that I've ever purchased, because it gives these motion-type shots that you can't get just sitting your camera on a tripod. And every once in a while, those are great shots, have your camera on a tripod and do a panning shot or something like that. But if you can actually have some motion, if, you know, you're following someone from, like, your main lobby area into the auditorium or something like that, that can be a really cool shot to help, you know, give transition to, okay, we're going to start, you know, here in the parking lot and have greeters as the people are walking in, and then we're going to transition into people coming into worship and stuff like that. So it's to me, it's just about, you know, once I get to a location, I kind of just figure it out once I get there. But I've done it so many times now that it's kind of just second nature. So I sort of know what I'm looking for ahead of time. But for those that are just starting out, the thing that I did that really helped me the most was really be researching other people's work online. Like, don't try and be someone else. I think that was one of the mistakes that I made, and I think a lot of people do when they first start out, is they try and be someone else. They find someone online that they love their style, they love the quality of stuff they're producing, and they try and mimic their style so much, like they're basically almost ripping them off. And so my advice would be just find your own style, and it takes time. You know, you got to, I look back, my wife and I were sitting down the other day, and we found some stuff that I had done when I first started my business, and it was just, in my mind, just complete garbage, you know, because compared to what I'm producing nowadays, like, I'm just really proud of what I'm producing now. And back then, I mean, that was just, you know, it just seemed very amateur to me, but I had to start somewhere, and everybody does. So you just kind of have to mess up. You got to make mistakes, but it's all a learning experience, and it kind of helps build your portfolio. It helps build your, you know, skill level. And before too long, you'll just know, before you even get to the job site, you'll just know exactly what you're looking for. And it just kind of grows like that.
Yeah, I agree, man. When I look back on my early stuff, I just want to puke.
Yeah. It's so bad. Well, I've started since I got my new camera. I got it about a year ago. I sort of started going through my website and, like, kind of cleaning out some of the old stuff that I had and, you know, putting the new stuff on there, because just the quality differences. And like I said, 6 months from now, though, there's going to be something. It'll probably be, you know, holographic cameras or something like that. And we'll just be like, oh, I don't know why I ever bought this camera in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. How much footage do I need to shoot? Obviously, it may depend on how long the video is, that sort of thing. But how much footage do you usually typically shoot when you are shooting B-roll?
Well, it does depend on the project and the length of the video. But I'm the kind of person that I would much rather overshoot than not have enough. And so if it's a 10-minute video or a 15-second video, I'm probably going to shoot the same amount of footage because I want to make sure that when I get into editing the project that I've got more than enough to choose between. I'd rather, if it's a 30-second thing that I'm putting together, I would rather be cutting footage that I desperately want to keep instead of trying to find something that will just kind of fit the space. So for me, I always go in, you know, now I don't want to stay, you know, 24 hours for a 30-second video, but I'm going to give myself enough time to make sure that I've got exactly what I need. And like I said, the more that you do it, you kind of know, like, you almost remember a shot while you're shooting it, and you kind of store that in your mind for later when you start editing. And so you sort of know, okay, that was a great shot. I'm going to definitely use that later. And the more that you do it, you kind of get in a routine of doing that. So it's easy to remember stuff as you're shooting it. And once you get to a place where you're like, okay, I know that I've got more than enough, then I'll call it a day.
And as an editor, again, you know, you may be at a church and you're shooting B-roll, but you're not editing the piece. Man, your editor is going to so appreciate having more footage than you actually need. One, again, you can use it for another video later. I mean, it's not really going to go to waste. I use footage like crazy. I mean, I use so much footage in the videos that I produce, and so I need exponentially more footage to choose from to make it to make it look like variety, or you know, to really add some punch to it. So your editor really appreciates that.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
Okay, we talked about this some, but where can my footage be used? Do I need to know what videos I'm making in order to, you know, obviously that's going to determine some of the shots that I get, but walk me through, you know, what I shoot versus how I'm going to use it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that in the church world, you know, I was working, kind of as a contracted, video editor at a church, right outside of Atlanta for about a year and a half. And they shot, there was a pretty large church, and they took tons of mission trips and did a lot of outreach projects, and they had, you know, all kinds of campaigns that they did and stuff like that. And it's amazing how many times you could use one single clip across a lot of different videos. And so we used to do that a lot. We would, you know, there was just some footage that was just so good, you couldn't use it just once. You know, we'd want to use it 10 different times in 10 different videos. And so, you know, it's amazing when you're talking about, you know, doing outreach and this and that. One clip of a little girl smiling that you got on a mission trip 2 years ago can still be the perfect shot for that video 2 years later. So I think that, especially in the church world, you can use shots 100 different times, and sometimes it is exactly the perfect shot that you need.
Right, and it may not be even remotely close to the context of the original video that you were shooting it for.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, the little girl that you shot in Africa that's smiling is perfect for the community outreach video that you're working on a year later.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a great way to put that. Okay, so how much storage do I need? Talk about storage issues.
Well, I will tell you this. It's amazing to think that at one point we were actually using floppy disk because I think I figured it out the other day. It would probably take me 50 floppy disks to store one photo from what my camera shoots nowadays, which blows my mind. But storage is getting pretty crazy with how large files, especially on the video side, are becoming. Yeah. I actually just purchased a video monitor recorder, and the files are massive. And so, you know, for me, I like to have at least a couple different backup areas just to make sure that, you know, I'm covering my bases. If somebody, you know, I shot a project for 2 years later comes back and says, "Hey, I need that footage," then I've got what they need. So, I think it's just important, you know, cards on a typical shoot, I would say you need to have a minimum of 2 to 3, depending on what camera you're shooting, what kind of, 4K footage is way, way higher, you know, size-wise than what, you know, regular HD footage is. So you definitely need to have 2 or 3 cards, as well as batteries and all that kind of stuff to make sure you can get through the day. I would definitely have a few different hard drives and stuff. I probably, you know, my backup system is probably not as secure as some of these guys out there that have all these different crazy servers and things like that. I probably need to get to that point eventually because I just want to make sure that I've got, you know, it really is, it's an investment that needs to be made because if your cards aren't good, if your backup hard drives and stuff like that aren't good, then you could lose a ton of stuff, maybe even before you actually get the project done. So I think it's worth the investment, and I think that, you know, it needs to be quality. Don't buy a cheap card or hard drive. Like, just get something that's quality. That's as important, I think, as the actual gear that you're using, because if it's not going to, you know, be secure, and if you can't depend on it, then it's pointless to honestly even have a nice camera if you don't have good storage. So,
yeah. We recommend an online backup, Backblaze, as well. We use Backblaze to back up our systems and stuff, and we've had to dip into it once or twice where, you know, we thought we might have lost something or we did lose something. We went to our online backup, just pulled it down pretty easily, or had them mail us a drive. So do you have any preferences or recommendations there for kind of redundancy for backing up your stuff?
You know, I'm a big Dropbox user. Now on the video side, it can kind of eat up your footage pretty quick. Definitely on the photo side, I back everything up between my hard drives and Dropbox. Actually, the one that you were talking about, I need to probably look into that. I've never heard of that one before. So having an online backup, if you've got access to it, is definitely, I think, key nowadays.
Yeah, it's super cheap too. I think Backblaze is like $50 a year. I mean, it's ridiculously cheap. A couple last quick questions before I leave you this week. So should I edit, and I have some opinions on this, but should I edit highlights of the footage that I shot?
Okay, so like tell me what you mean by highlights.
Like, do I need to filter my footage and put a sizzle reel together and give it to my editor? Or do I give him everything that I shot?
Okay, well, this is, I think, very controversial for some people. Like, when we're working together, shooting church announcements or something like that, typically I will do a rough edit,
right,
as I would call it. And so I will chop the best footage for you and then send it to you in one file so that it's easy to manage and you can get what you need. Typically, my opinion, if I'm, you know, let's just say there's a church that's contracting with me to do, they just want me to come and shoot some footage for them. Depending on, you know, the price of the project and stuff like that, I would probably shoot and do a rough cut of the best footage. I typically, you know, especially if I've got my camera on a gimbal, I may be running it for 15 to 20 minutes straight at a time without stopping. And so I don't want to give them all that, you know, footage that's just, it's going to make their editor, you know, very upset at me and not, you know, be streamlined for them. So my personal opinion, I would probably rough cut the footage for them just so it saves them some time.
So here's my opinion on that. I agree with most of that. So if you're shooting, like for instance, with us, if you're shooting a church announcement talent or like, let's say a testimonial video, well, I don't know. Sometimes in the testimony, I would like to pull some different things, but let's say video announcements. Okay. So for, if you're shooting talent to give me a, you know, a rough cut, that's totally going to save me time and just, you know, you're the man for that. but for B-roll, and I agree, like if it's sitting there for 15 minutes, yeah, cut some of that out. But as an editor, I'm going to want as much as you possibly can give me because, and especially as a motion designer too, I can take pieces that you didn't even intend to make pretty and use them as a background or you blur them out and use them as a transitional element or something like that. So I think it really depends on, it may depend on the preference of your editor or things like that. So
yeah, I think so too.
Okay, last question for you. What are some tricks to getting some great shots that you've used over the years? Are there some definite, like you mentioned this a little bit, are there go-to shots that you're like, I get this every time because it is just money?
You know, it's funny because I would say 85% of my business is working with churches. So I do a lot of, I've got, you know, five or six churches on a monthly basis that I'm working with and, you know, a lot of other churches that I contract with all the time. So so for me, there are, I'm just looking for, you know, especially in the church world, I'm just looking for, you know, smiling people and stuff. It's funny because you always get sort of a variety, you know, on Sunday morning, you've got the parents that are showing up. Clearly their kids have done something to upset them on the way to church in the morning. So you're like, okay, I can't use that. but you know, there's different shots that, you know, worship is kind of my bread and butter. I would say, I know that I've got some shots that I'm looking for that I can get almost every single time, shots of the worship band or whoever's leading, shots of people worshiping, those kinds of things. Some of the other shots around the church, I mean, sometimes it just happens perfectly. Sometimes you really just kind of have to pull it out of people. Like, you typically, if I'm doing like a promo for a church or something, I would go into the kids area and, you know, I'll act, you know, like a fool to try and get the babies in the kids area to give me a smile. So I'll do whatever it takes, you know, to get them to smile looking straight at the camera. Cause those shots are always great to put in there. But, you know, they're really, there's not too many tricks that I think that I would have. Like I said, having the gimbal now, there's a lot of variations of shots that I, you know, a couple years ago weren't able to do, and now I can. I follow people a lot of times, probably, you know, it seems creepy to some people, but sometimes just getting people walking and stuff like that is great as little transitional pieces or something like that. So it really is just kind of getting in the moment and, you know, capturing what you can. But I think the biggest thing for me is I really try and be very personable with people. I think that if people feel comfortable, you know, I'll walk in sometimes with people like having Sunday school or small groups or whatever. And if I can just like make them laugh as soon as I walk in the room and get them comfortable, then they're a lot more willing to, you know, be comfortable while I'm in there shooting instead of being all tense and being like, trying to hide their faces and stuff like that. So, so I think that's the biggest thing. It's just, you know, being personable and, you know, really, you know, setting a comfortable atmosphere so that people can, you know, be comfortable while you're shooting.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for your insight on this. I think it's awesome. I think it's very beneficial for churches to kind of know how someone who's been around a while knows the deal when it comes to shooting in church world. You can give us a few pointers there. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Glad to do it.
All right. Tell us again how we can keep up with you. How can we follow you and your company?
Okay. Well, my website is jdrakeproductions.com. You can find me on social media. You probably will not see me posting that much because I just don't get on there that much. But the website's probably the best way to find some of my most recent work. And you can email me at jdrakeproductions@gmail.com if you've got any questions or need any help with anything. Love to be able to help out.
Awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Did you ever decide what you're going to do this summer?
Maybe number 4.
With the Trans Am? That's awesome, man.
You're bone on bone now. That's what's causing all the pain. But your competitive racing days, they're over.
I just don't want you to get hurt. I think about that a lot, you know? Do you have any idea what you put us through every time you do one of these things?
Dr. Horton gave me the confidence to believe in myself. He helped me appreciate God's creation. I'm a new person today because of that wild man.
I feel like God wants me to inspire people one last time.
Have you ever asked yourself if you're teaching the right things?
Maybe Dave is giving you all that he can give you right now.
What if it's not enough?
You took vows, Nat.
So did he.
I wish I could understand you. Understand why this is so important to you.
Hey guys, I had the opportunity to catch a screening of the new film Extraordinary recently. It's coming to theaters in September. I was able to talk to one of the stars of the movie, Sherry Rigby, about her experiences on set and about the movie. Check out this clip.
Extraordinary is exactly that. It's an extraordinary film. It's based on the ultra marathon runner, David Horton, who is also a college professor at Liberty University. And the story is really a story about him and his wife and just this incredible journey between both of them, just about their marriage and about really running the race well. And I think what you see ultimately in this film is, you know, it starts off and we're following the ultra marathon runner, David Horton, but ultimately what we see is this marriage that really has to go the distance as well. And both of them coming to a reality that their marriage is worth fighting for.
Extraordinary, in select theaters this fall.
Show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are online now at thechurchmediapodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss one. And we would be grateful if you left a review about us in iTunes. We are one of the top 10 church media podcasts on iTunes, and we thank you for that. Just search Church Media on iTunes to find us easily. Be sure to check out thechurchmediapodcast.com for tons more content.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, Daniel Ermler from churchhacks.com returns to the podcast. Next week, we'll be talking about Facebook Live. So if you have any questions about how to do Facebook Live at your church, this is the episode to check out. Daniel will join me next week. All of our episodes are produced by the hands of the master, David Michael Hyde. He is at davidmichaelhyde.com. That's H-Y-D-E. He is our podcast producer and my hero. Go visit him for all your audio needs. It's a privilege hanging out with you guys each and every week. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.